Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm Bobby Marcheso, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, all sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Coming up on the show, Ava Maria Mora, a compassionate, clairvoyant, medical intuitive, and spiritual teacher talking about quantum healing. We're going to have all of that coming up first, but right now, we need to bring in my co-hosts. We'll first talk to the fantastic, lovely Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
You know, that voice of yours is just so, you know, like, so-so. It's so, like...
It's just so-so? Thank
it's
you.
Like, no,
that's
it's like...
the sweetest
so,
thing.
It's like, so wow. It's like, I just want to say, wow. Okay, I would like to talk like that, too. Yes, my name is Maureen.
You have to. No, all you have to do is just... You just have to lower your voice and go, hey, hi.
I can talk like Rosanna Dana, if that's what you guys want. I'll do that, too.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So what are you up to? Tell us about you and your lovely gifts. Please.
My gifts, do I call them gifts or do I call them whatever?
Yeah, what do you, oh, that's interesting. What do you call them? Gifts? Abilities?
I don't say gifts because I don't think it's such a, I guess, I think we all have this gift of being human and.
Good for you.
You know, but I think we all have intuition and call gut, businessmen call it gut feeling, a hunch, and some people just call it denial. But, but then again, I don't think it's been a gift. It's been a hard journey for me, but it is a work I'm supposed to do and I've accepted it, and I don't have guides or angels. I'm not saying I don't believe in that, but I don't have that. But I am an empath. I am an empath. I pick up too much stuff, actually. But I feel deeply, and I utilize the tarot. I'm well-versed, and relationships are okay. I like to do those. But really, a lot of things do spiritual development. And I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com, and I love my friends and pals like-minded.
And we love you.
Oh, thank you.
It's no, I'm glad you said that because I've never referred to it as a gift either. It's always been ability or a talent. I've worked pretty hard to do what it is that I do, and yeah. I'm not
taught
saying that I don't have help. You know,
I taught you everything, Bobby.
You didn't. You interrupted me. And anyway, so I do. I have had help along the way, and Maureen has pretty much taught me everything I know right now. So
right, thank you.
You're welcome. I like to give credit where credit's due. All right, moving on, we have our lady Brenda. Hi.
Hi there. And you know what? I don't believe that for a minute.
What's that? The Marine taught me everything I know?
That's right. I think you were born with it.
Oh, well, gosh, you're going to have to take that up with
either that or it's all BS and you know, mirrors and all that.
I'm just faking it is all.
Faking it, honey. No, well, I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com, all the lovely people, and I'm a straightforward predictive psychic, crystal ball, tarot, playing cards. I'm pretty old school, and that's that.
You know, and that's all you have to say about that.
That's right.
I like that. I love all old school, though. You know, there's a great way to do the newer things, but I'm getting it to be that age now where, you know, this is how we do it, and all the newfangled stuff that sometimes people are choosing to believe in is, I don't know. I think it gets lost. I think there's too many branches.
Well, I think, you know, tradition is important to me because I'm a Capricorn, you know, preserving tradition. And, you know, crystal ball and tarot, how traditional can you get? So.
Exactly. All right. Very good. And then lastly, but not leastly. Leastly, not. Oh, heck. Here's Steve, everyone. Hi, Steve.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm one wisdom tooth lighter than I was last week, but doing
yes.
Very well.
Yes, goodness sakes, what a champ, coming on the show and still doing what you're doing. And now, Maureen asked a very important question earlier. You did take YouTube video of this, right, happening?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
I was looking forward to that, you know.
Now, was it anything like, so if, now that they've pulled that, have you used your talent or your gift recently after that, or was that it for you? Like, put it back. No, wait, put it back.
I'm not quite as wise as I was.
Oh.
But I've been working as normal.
Very good. And you're feeling all right. So tell us about your, now, how about you, ability or gift? Talent?
Oh, I think it's both. I think that we're born with an ability, but I think that if we're born with an ability that's particularly strong, then it's a gift to us. But I believe that everybody has psychic ability, and I believe that everybody's mediumistic. It's a question of just focusing on the development of that ability.
You know, it's interesting because I do believe everybody is psychic, but I don't think I've ever looked at it from the viewpoint of everybody's also has that mediumistic ability. I don't know that everybody does.
Well, my stance on that is that we're all interconnected, mm-hmm. and in effect, I believe that we're all part of one organism or the universe.
Sure.
And so I believe that we all have the ability. And I've worked with people that didn't even know what mediumship was and seen them develop good mediumistic ability. So that's just my view.
No, I agree with you. I think definitely, you know, now I don't know why I said that, because I guess there's still a part of me that believes that, but I have seen people and usually tell people during my events and such that you don't need me to do this. You can definitely get in touch with your loved ones and feel them around. I think it's just different. Maybe just people don't often want to do it like you and I do it, either for a show or for other people or that type of thing.
Well, also it's more evidential for people when the information comes from a complete stranger that wouldn't know about that person or have any insights about that person's life.
Very
so I agree with you. I always say to clients, you know, your relative is not here for me. I don't know them.
Right.
They're here for you, but I'm able to give evidence that they're here.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I believe that the connection is the love connection that people have with their friends and their relatives.
Absolutely. You know, it's great to talk to another medium. I don't often get that chance. And it seems like, you know, every week when we're doing this show that you and I have a lot in common with that way. So it's very confirmational for me. So
except I have a wonderful British accent.
Okay, you know what? You're keeping out the women. The women also have some unique qualities here.
I'm sorry, I'm hearing a buzzing right now, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you hear that? It's really coming across a noise.
Like a chirping noise.
Yeah, like a little chirping. Moving on. Speaking of which, we have a fantastic show for you. Ava Maria Mora is a German-born U.S. citizen and overcame a severe illness and underwent amazing life changes. It led her to discover this new healing method, and that's what the title of the show is, Quantum Angel Healing. Now, when her baby boy was 6 months old, the doctor told her that she only had a few weeks to live. And after this diagnosis, she had prayed for help and guidance, and her prayers were answered. She had an encounter with a beautiful angel, which changed her life forever. And we're going to talk not only more about that, but find out exactly what lies in quantum angel healing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Ava Maria Mora. Hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful today. I cannot say that every day, but today I can say that. So
I can feel it. You feel wonderful to me. That's good. Now, let me just ask you before, is it Ava or Eva?
It's Ava Maria. So
okay, because I kept saying Ava. I was trying to pronounce it very, you know, very wonderfully.
So that's all right. Ava Maria is fine.
Okay, thank you. So, there are so many interests in this because it's a new term. Even like you said, this new healing method, we had people asking questions about it before the show even started. So first, I want to find out how you coined this term and exactly what it is, but tell me about this experience that you had, this encounter with this angel after only, mm-hmm. I mean, you were told you had 2 weeks to live and you just had a brand new baby, and talk about a mixed emotional time. That had to have been just crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy because I was in my early 30s then, and I never thought of any illness. Normally you don't do that as a young person. And I had my son, 6 months old, beautiful kid, and I wasn't feeling good and feeling worse every day, and I didn't know why, you know, because I don't sleep much with a baby or what. But my girlfriend said, please go see a doctor, and I did, got my blood work done, and it turned out that I had a very severe, rare autoimmune disease that I never heard of, and I thought, "Are you sure it wasn't a mix-up?" And
yeah, check
really
again,
me.
Right?
Yeah,
I'll take a
really.
Second opinion, please.
Like, are you sure? And he said, "Oh yes, I'm sure." And you should not be able to walk through this door. So, yeah. So that was a huge wake-up call, and a lot of people that are called to do something on the spiritual path, and I've met so many. They have a story that was like an alarm clock finally ringing loud and say, wake up, there's something more. And that was my wake-up call, and I didn't know it at that time, but now I can clearly identify that as a big initiation that pushed me hugely on my spiritual path. And I started with praying. I started with, God, please help me.
Yeah, I mean, where else are you going to go, right? Kids. I mean, I think that's a logical place that most people go to. Had you mm-hmm. done that before? Had you relied that much on God before, or had done much praying before that?
I was raised Catholic, and my grandmother taught me how to talk to God, how to ask for help from the angels, to talk right. to Mary and Jesus. So I grew up that way in a Christian family. So we prayed before every meal was on the table. So
sure.
yes. And well, when you're a teenager and you're out and about, you kind of like sometimes lose that a little bit. So, but
right.
you know, we've got to be honest here. So,
that's
but
right.
when you are in crisis, I know that we all turn to a higher power, that we're all looking for an answer, no matter what religion you are in, what you call the highest source of love, call it God, some people call it a different name. So I think we all know that it exists and that we're right. coming from there, that we have that knowing as a soul, as a being. So that is natural to all people in terms of being in a crisis, and I know you've met a lot of people in difficult life situations, and I think you can confirm that's what happens. So,
oh, absolutely. Especially, what do they say in wartime? Especially, there's those foxhole priests, they would call them, because everybody turns to God in a foxhole, don't they? But yeah, I mean, that's just it's that higher power wanting to believe, feeling so much in grief of, I can't do this, I need somebody to help me. Maybe somebody can help me, but I can't do this. And so turning to that type of thing. So did anything, so you got this diagnosis and you turned to God, prayed right there. Did anything happen at that moment, or how soon was it before you experienced this change, or that you knew something was different?
Well, in my prayers, like in my darkest hours when I prayed, I remember I heard in that moment, I really felt horrible. I heard church bells ringing, and I was in Europe at that time, and every city has churches everywhere, and they ring all the time. Not so much in the U.S., but they do. So that was the first sign. So there's always signs. And I said, okay, this is not a coincidence. And a day or two later, I was at home by myself in my bedroom trying to rest, and I felt that somebody is watching me. You know that feeling? Like there's a pair of eyes looking at you.
Right,
like,
right.
I turn around. Like,
except for me, that's different.
Looking
because,
at me.
Well, that's a whole court story, so never mind. But yes.
Yeah. So, I felt watched, and I turned around, and then I saw this beautiful white being of light. I was not scared because it was so loving, so comforting. So I'm here. I'm there for you, and you have something to do, and you'll be fine. You'll move on, and we're going to support you. That's. It was not really a conversation at that point, but that was the comforting feeling that I got from this angel. I know it was an angel, and I said, okay, I get it. I'm not going to die, and I take the medication and do this, and I learn why did I get sick to begin with. And being a... you know, a researcher, a person that has a couple MBAs and a lot of studies, I always was thorough and wanted to know why are things happening, and that question pushed me all along and led me to reading certain books, led me to meet certain people. I started meditating on a regular basis, and I was communicating with God and the angels, and I was really becoming more aware every day. I met some wonderful teachers from India, from Tibet, like really wonderful, sacred people from all different countries and different cultures, and I wanted to learn about then shamanic healing because I didn't learn that yet. I studied with really a lot of teachers, and I became a licensed psychotherapist in Germany. I studied for that 3 years at a university and learned
about
shamanic
healing.
So you
just got busy,
healing.
Didn't you?
So I did a lot. You know, I'm a thorough person. Yeah. I don't believe in woo-woo. I don't believe in nonsense or weird rituals or any of that stuff. I don't. I believe in what works and what's real and what brings results. And the angels taught me about basically quantum physics. And that means that our feelings, our emotions, emotion is energy in motion, and what we're believing in, that has an impact on the outcome.
Right. Right.
And the quantum physicists, they found that out, and they call it the observer effect. And you can Google that. Everybody can Google that. It's true what we're thinking and what we're believing. And our emotions that are really powerful or really strong let so many people to a certain life situation. So what I did, I reverse engineer things in that case. Yeah. So I look at a life situation when I work with clients, and then I ask the angels, okay, why is this person sick? What happened? What is the emotion? What is maybe the trauma that happened, the abuse that happened, whatever happened? And sometimes it's a subtle thing that can really cause an emotional earthquake in a person, in their childhood, whatever. And so we kind of like in our sessions in quantum angel healing, we reverse engineer, we find the cause for the symptom, like why is the person sick? Why is the finances not working? Why is the relationship not working? So, and then you have to find, like, if you water the plants in the garden and nothing is coming out of your garden hose, you have to find where the leaks are, okay?
Right,
and
right,
fix those
right.
Leaks, right?
And so,
that's a simple
so
picture
when
that,
you're
you know.
Right, when you're discovering all of this now, and I'm just talking on behalf of the people who are listening, okay? Because you and I have our own beliefs, but we also have to pose questions in the way that one of our audience members might, right? So what, when you're describing all of this, what is the difference between regular healing, hands-on healing, Reiki or angel therapy or any of that type of things compared to quantum angel healing, what it is that you're talking about?
There's a pretty big and significant difference because no one really asks why. So if you have a hands-on healing practitioner who means well and does wonderful work, they don't tap into the quantum field. identify why this symptom is there and are able to work with spirit, with the angels, bring the people on a higher level of consciousness and energy and reverse engineer it and change it. And that's only possible on the quantum field because there is no time, there is no gravity, there is no space. You go before it happened, and that is possible. And then there is the creation that causes a symptom to have knee pain and has to do with a past whatever love affair that went down the hill or whatever. You can go and change the emotional energy of that on the quantum field, and that is not what is done in other healing modalities. And if you have done this and the people are now having another belief system, it's like changing the software in a computer. You can talk to your computer, you can polish the computer, you can do all kinds of things. But if you have a virus on it or if you have major severe problems, it's like you need to do a lot more, and this is a lot more what we're doing.
So explain to me now, again, just on layman's terms, explain the difference of what a quantum field is. I mean, or are there different fields and then one of them being the quantum field, or how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm. This is basically a matter of terminology.
Okay.
You can call it the quantum field. Some people call it the divine matrix. Some people call it the divine blueprint. Other people call it the soul level. Yes? So
right.
I call it the quantum field or the soul level. We're working.
Okay.
We, meaning the angels, and I am just a facilitator. I don't do healing work. I'm a facilitator for God's work that works through me and the angels. So when we are receiving the information, and maybe I can really compare it to the spiritual internet. If you think of me as a device or so, or a client, as a person, as a device, a computer, you know,
right.
Allow that for a moment. And then you have access to the field of oneness. One of your friends on the phone callers said that before, that we are all one. Yes, and a lot of people say that, but they don't understand what that is.
Right.
They just repeat it. So,
they do, because it sounded really good. Oh, I was at this retreat, and this one
really
guy
good.
Said
yeah,
we're all one,
no.
And I thought it sounded really
you
cool.
You have to be able to be on the level of oneness, of God consciousness, of knowing who you are. And I ask the question to a lot of people, who are you? And they don't know. They don't know. They
right.
identify with the role and whatnot, but they don't know who they really are. So we are all one. Yes, if you have the awareness what that means. And if we all come from God, from a source of creation, call it God, call it the quantum field, call it the mega soul, I don't know, and I don't care what people are calling it, but there's an origin where we're coming from, and there's an origin where an illness is coming from. There's an origin when I have a cake in the kitchen, and it's chocolate cake with nuts, and it tastes really wonderful, and it does that because there were chocolate and nuts and whatever put in there. But if it doesn't taste good, then I have to look what ingredients are there and change the ingredients so I have a different cake. Pretty simple to understand that you have to change the ingredients. And I said before, the ingredients, coming back to quantum physics and the observer effect, the ingredients is what our belief systems are, what we're afraid of. And in my book, Quantum Angel Healing, I describe that very explicitly and easy and in layman's term with a lot of stories to understand for everybody how this all works, that we're running subconscious programs. For example, the Love Hurts program. if I have the belief system, love hurts, and if I have that experience 20 times during my life through all kinds of relationships, through when I was little, my grandma died, my dog got run over by a car, whatever, if I believe right. love hurts, this is the signal that I'm sending out as an energy being, and that goes in resonance with other energy beings. I'm talking human beings. And then I attract those, and that's physics again, into my life because they are on the same frequency. They go in resonance with the field, the signal that I'm sending out. And only if you heal that and only if you change the belief systems and the programmings, you send out a different signal and then you will attract something different in your life. To me, after all those years doing that, pretty simple, pretty clear. And again, I'm a skilled researcher and a person with some brains too, not just woohoo. And I found out right. that this is really very profound, and this is new technology, like the internet, where you have access to fields of information. We now have clouds out there where everything is stored in a cloud. And that's kind of like not really easy to comprehend, but it still works, even if we don't comprehend it.
Right. And that's what I've found as well in working with people. Sometimes their beliefs will be that love hurts or whatever, but it still doesn't take away from the fact of what they really are, what they truly are, what they can really attract to their life. Well, your beliefs are not. Definitely they create your experience, but I find that people's beliefs aren't necessary for me to do what I need to do. You know what I mean? Like it all still exists.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in it or not, it still is. Mm-hmm. When you go through some of the healing that you do with other people, what happens to you? Like certain sensations, or do you trance, or do you just kind of blank out, or what do you go through when you're facilitating this?
No. I'm not the kind of girl that blanks out at all. So we're pretty aware of what we're doing and we know what we're doing. So I'm probably in a relaxed state, in the alpha mode of the brain, if you want to call it that. So I'm in a meditative state and I'm open and I'm very skilled and trained to communicate with spirit. I've been doing this in this life a lot and probably in other lifetimes. So when I work with a client and I do work over the phone, I don't have to be in the same room with the person because I go with the person who is my client. We're connecting on the energetic level. We're calling in the angels. We're connecting with the highest source of love, which I call God. And we are in a sacred space, an energetic sacred space. Like you and I know, we are in a certain space, although we're not in the same room, but we have a connection. We communicate.
Right.
So and when we invite the angels and then we say prayers and ask for help, and we're asking, please, God, please, angels, show me what is the cause for this symptom? Why is this person not feeling well? What is behind that? Then I receive as the facilitator, if you will, so as practitioner, I receive the information, and as being a medium, you know how you can perceive energy information either in words, in pictures. A lot of them, those informations are in pictures and words. And right. then I convey this information to the person, and we are in the dialogue with spirit. And we can identify where it's coming from. That is the first part of a quantum angel healing session. And in the second part, the angels are taking the person, which I call in their light body, in, on a level of consciousness, to the higher place, to the level of oneness, to the quantum field. And the changes are made by this treatment from the angels, and the people are feeling that. They might feel a tingling, they might feel warmth, and they are very aware what is going on. They right. perceive the same pictures that I perceive
Ooh, that's cool.
during this treatment. And yes,
right.
it's really way cool. And I worked with a gentleman this morning who is also, a businessman. And in the beginning of the session, we talked a lot at first because that is what his brain needed. When his brain understood, okay, I'm safe, I'm good, I'm smart, and I can relax, it was for him awesome, wonderful. He said he was so thrilled to receive this information and to see the pictures and to have the awareness that the angels are treating him, to feel that relief and how they were transforming energy out of his solar plexus and how they were, you know, helping him to move on from things that happened in his childhood. And he was a new person, and this is really true in the sense that his energetic profile, his field, is changing. And he, if you look at him clairvoyantly, looks completely different. I can see the chakras of a person, and I can see the energy is blocked, spinning, you know, and whatever is going on. And the before and after pictures are amazing. It looks like a person who was 300 pounds before and lost 150 pounds because there was so much guilt, burden, emotions, negative emotions weighing on the people, causing the back pain, causing the neck pain or shoulder or not having a relationship or whatever. So there's intense, wonderful energy transformation happening, and I haven't heard of other modalities that do exactly that. Some people say I do something like that, but I haven't heard it really, or somebody who can explain it like that. And I call it quantum angel healing. I worked with clients for many years, and one of these days, Random House in Europe called up and sent me an email first and said, "We heard about the work and the results of your work. We would like to publish a book with you." And that's how it all started. And it was because of the results of the work, not because I had the intention to be an author. I actually never did. And I wrote about those experiences. And this week I have a special that whoever is listening, please take advantage of this special, because on you can buy the book on my website or on Amazon, but on Amazon we have a Kindle special, so you can get it for 99 cents. a fortune, you know, and saved lives and helped thousands of people. So I can only say, if you don't get it, that would not be in your better interest. So please do get it. Push a button. You will receive a huge, huge gift through that. It truly is a gift, and the angels wanted me to do this week for spring because it is important. We're in the year 2012. A lot of things are happening already. People are changing. They have to change. They're pushed. People are looking for help like I was. People are in crisis. So if I would have received in my life at that time a teacher or somebody who had it all together and had a way of really something that works so deeply, I would have been so grateful. But at that time, it wasn't available. Like at that time, there was no internet or no cell phone. Right. So now it is there because we need it. And I teach this modality. I train hundreds of people that have their own practice. Also, doctors, nurses, teachers, bus drivers, mothers, grandmothers, a lot of people from all different countries, cultures, backgrounds, because no matter what you're doing, even police officers, they can, if they learn how to clearly access with spirit and ask, okay, what is the cause of this situation? If they want to know the truth, they will find that out really easily.
I think
so
a lot of people benefit from something like that, don't they?
And,
especially if you're in
the time that the truth comes out. Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're in the healing profession, like you said, a lot of, you know, nurses and things like that, anybody who's working in the ER and such like that, I mean, I think that would be tremendously beneficial.
Yeah, but in every life situation, you want to know, how can I change this? Every person can use that. Every person, for yourself, for your children, for your friends, for your family members. I mean, we're on Earth, and everybody goes through initiations. This is like a school. And if you want some help in a certain life situation, there is a way to get help. So everybody can use that, not just a certain type of a profession, but everybody can. And if you read the stories in my book, you will see how it helped everyday people to really be more fulfilled, happy, healthy, and consciously create the life that they really want.
Now, I have a good question from we have a couple of questions, actually, from our chat room, and I want to get started. I know we're going to be taking a break here really soon, though, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but and I also want to be able to get to a couple of the other aspects that you teach, which is the quantum angel children, quantum angel love. I wanted you to be able to explain those as well, but real quickly before we head on to a break, can angel healing or this particular type of healing help groups of people, for example, Native Americans, say, if they're healing from historical traumas, or maybe Jewish people from historical traumas like that. Does this also come into play for groups, or would that also be individual?
Mm-hmm. No, it also applies for groups, but we do have free will and a certain readiness that you have to be ready for that, I think. You know, we have a free will, and sometimes you're not quite ready. But I do work with certain groups or people in a business, and let's say there is a call center of so many people that work there, and we can work with one person who is a person who is a part of this divine matrix, or this matrix in this office, and through him or her changing, the others will change too. And this is not just, you know, a claim that I make, but if the energy level and the consciousness of one person, and you can look that up on the Hawking scale, I wrote about that in my book, if a person has a certain vibration, the others entrain into that vibration. We've heard about the phenomenon of the hundredth monkey. I'm sure you know that example. One monkey starts, and then the others do this, and then all of a sudden, everybody's doing that. It's
right.
Like when the consciousness is there. Yes, with one person, you mentioned certain groups there. If the consciousness of one person that belongs to this group, to this cloud, to this matrix, changes, everything else is possible. And that's how evolution takes place, evolution of consciousness. And I'm really positive that if enough people are doing this and are are ready for receiving this love energy for healing, that we can change a lot of things that are not working well right now.
Absolutely. I believe that fully. I think that with some groups is what she was talking about. I think it is difficult because there's many groups who actually hang on to that historical trauma as an identity to this who makes us who we are, and they don't ever let go, instead of just focusing more on the love and what it is now. You're right, it has to start somewhere, and teaching groups to begin with that one small step, right, that first step on the yellow brick road, I think that definitely is beneficial. So here's what we're going to do. Eva, we're going to take a quick, really quick break, okay, and then we're going to come back, and I do want to talk about some of those other aspects. But everyone, again, you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint. This is Eva Maria Mora, who's a clairvoyant, medical intuitive, and spiritual teacher. We're talking about quantum angel healing, and we're going to just take a quick break, and then we're going to be back. But don't forget to tune in probably about another 45 minutes or so, and we'll start taking calls for you to call us, myself and my co-host, with free questions as well. So stay tuned. Psychic Viewpoint here on PsychicAccess.com is going to be back in just a few moments.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
All right, welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'm Bobby Marcheso, along with my co-hosts, Maureen, Brenda, and Steve, who we haven't heard from at all, but I promise you they're there. If you have any questions, please let me know. And again, we'll take some free phone calls for your free readings coming up a little bit later in the show after we finish with our guests. But meanwhile, again, we're talking to Eva Maria Mora. And this quantum healing, it's very fascinating because, again, it's the healing that we can only access by tuning in to that particular place that just is so free, clear, not coming through our human filters, but going directly what's needed to be healing. And it sounds even like you really support that part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us more about quantum angel children. So important with our kids, now that we have a generation that's aware of this, to teach future generations. Now, back in the day, my parents didn't know anything about this. This was not taboo, but I mean, it wasn't really mentioned, really, was it? And then now that we have this new generation, our generation, we can start teaching our children and become more and more aware. So tell me about what you're calling the quantum angel children. What is that about?
Yeah, well, that is actually the title of my third book, Quantum Angel Children. And I found out through working with a lot of people that their inner child was very hurt. Like you said, you were probably, as well as I was, very sensitive and intuitive as a child. And I was, but no one called us what we know today as indigo children, crystal children. That just didn't exist. So when I was sensing spirits and feeling things walking through the house or through the city, I always got shivers, and my dad would just slap me on the back and say, stop this nonsense. So our intuitive right. gifts that we all have, all children have that, and we want to belong. This is just a part of survival. And if we're told angels don't exist and your invisible friends, they don't exist, and whatever you sense there, it doesn't exist. That's what we then tune into, believing that, and that's, again, a belief system. So we believe, okay, it was just my imagination. Now the generations of the new children, the children of the light, I call them children of the light. I don't label them. I don't put them in categories. And they told me they really don't want that, you know.
Right.
So I don't put stickers on them or put them in a box. Spiritual, intuitive children of the light that are clairvoyant, that are seeing spirits, that are connected and aware to all that is. And we mentioned Native Americans before. People are in nature, and my husband is trained by Hopi Apache, so I have a lot of...
That's right. I remember seeing that. You guys travel a lot together and do these
Native Americans,
don't you?
I live here in Arizona, close to the reservation.
That's right.
And if you leave kids alone, it's natural for them to play with orbs and fairies and all that. So what happens, though, when you are aware, you're not so easy to be controlled. And that is a big one here. So if you see things, if you hear things, if you know who you are, you don't want to be a part of any system, or you don't fit, like, in the school system. And there are studies, again, I'm a big researcher, there are studies that were made, I think, in Scandinavia and Sweden. Kids, preschool kids, were asked to draw a house. So the kids were drawing a house. One was a tree house. The next one was underwater. The other was in the clouds. And all kinds of, like, what people say, oh, this is just fantasy. That just doesn't exist. It's crazy. And then they were in school the first year. And after the first year, they asked them again to paint a house. And it looked, you know, a square with a triangle roof. And all the houses looked the same.
Right.
And this is the conditioning that happens. And children of the light, they don't like this conditioning, and they don't function well with that. And then they put them on medication put them under pressure, and they put them in psychiatric hospitals. And I have seen a lot of pain with the children, all the way to suicide and everything. And I said, it's really, really time that we, as the older ones that know that they're not crazy and know, yes, they do see what they see, that we speak up and that we, you know, as the older brothers and sisters, protect them. And that's why I founded a charity in Germany, Children of the Light charity, to support that. And we organize conferences. We inform teachers, school systems, parents. We show them what they can do to not traumatize and punish those kids, but to accept who they are and actually to learn from them, because there is nothing wrong with the kids.
That's brilliant, because I just I work constantly with them, but I just had a young lady the other day. She's 15 years old, diagnosed, of course, with ADHD, and, you know, put on medication. And people need to recognize what is just her light, and there's so many labels on this. But you're talking about the ADHD, autistic children. You know, are those all kind of the same type of thing, these diagnoses, these labels that are being put on them?
Yeah, those are labels. And ADHD is this attention deficit disorder. It's what I call it. We need to pay more attention to the children and find out why it seems like they have difficulties, they don't fit, what's going on. We need to pay attention and understand them and treat them the way they needed to be treated. If I have a plant and I take a beautiful plant and put it in my basement and shut the door, and then I go and look 3 weeks later, the plant is not going to look good.
Right.
And then we come, maybe it needs some chemistry, needs some fertilizer. No, it needs some light, and it needs some love, and then the plant will be just fine. And the same is true for our children, okay? So,
Do you think that children,
really,
though, to some degree,
really
have a protective energy that they're born with?
Excuse me?
The children that are coming to this world, do you believe that they have at least some type of a protective energy around them?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they have their aura field and protective energy around them, like everybody who comes here. But through through harsh words, through all kinds of energies, TV and computers and too much environmental hell, they don't feel that protection anymore, and then they get very vulnerable to all that, and they're opening up for attachment sometimes and all kinds of things. So again, like the plant that you put in the basement, that has protection too. But if you put it in an environment, and that's research again, I call this, and other scientists call this, epigenetics. Dr. Bruce Lipton is somebody who wrote terrific books about that. Epigenetics is the environment that causes a person to become ill or be healthy. The environment, epigenetics, it's more than just the genes. And if we are changing the environment and create a wonderful environment for our children, they're doing good. And then they don't have to be put on medication or put in psychiatric hospitals because it's horrible. If you go and visit the children there and you see what they're going through, or you see even worse, after so many shots they're getting, they're sitting there like zombies. They're numb.
Right.
They don't feel anything anymore. This is horrendous.
Yes, horrendous. I absolutely agree, and there definitely needs to be more awareness with that as well. With when somebody wants to change their script or their programming, as you have called it, which I agree that certain things become a pattern after a while, and we glom onto that, I think. Events happen, we put them together, next we have a pattern, then it develops into a belief, and that continues to happen. How do you make that, or what do you recommend would be the first step for somebody to go about getting quantum angel healing, outside of contacting you and getting the book? Is there a tool that you can give our listeners real quick? We only have a few minutes left in the show, but I kind of want to leave off with something that kind of gives our guests a right direction to step into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I certainly want to recommend to get the book and to take it in what is said in there. And I have in the book, which is called The Quantum Angel Healing Formula. And it is like a script. And they can take that and look for their own maybe negative emotions, whatever is going on in their life, fill in the blanks, call upon the angels, call upon God to help with that and get some support. It needs to be an energetic change. And that is another huge difference. It's not just an affirmation. It needs to be an energetic change. So before you do that, go into a place of love. Maybe you're looking at your pet who is cute and wonderful, and it opens your heart, or looking at a beautiful flower, whatever opens your heart. And then ask the angels to please, for example, Archangel Raphael, help me to release this pain and the cause, the program, the belief system that caused this pain, so I have, a healing for myself. So this is what people can do. And it is a little easier if you're feeling very, very low and very, very lousy, to ask somebody else to give you a hand, to ask for help, and to work with people that know what they're doing. And I recommend that. But there's certainly a possibility to help yourself with some awareness. The book helps with that. And ask God and the angels for help to transform the energetic cause for whatever your symptom is. And they will do that, and you can count on them doing that.
That's great. Eva Marie, thank you so much. Listen, everybody, contact Eva Marie. Go to her website, quantumangelblog.com. Quantumangelblog.com. So many books available, so many steps. Like she said, there's a script on there basically that you just follow. It's just a formula. Fill in the blanks and start with that. And then, of course, she's always available to take private appointments and to help you along your journey as well. And Eva, I love having you on the show. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed getting to know you as well. When I was asking you to come on the show, I had seen you and your husband and, you know, different pictures that you guys have traveled and working with this. And it just brought a smile to my heart. So I really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Thank you. It was awesome to share this time with you and your listeners. So thank you so much, and much love to you all.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, take care, Eva.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, once again, Eva Maria Mora. You can reach her at her website, quantumangelblog.com. So we're going to get to our free readings. Don't call in just yet, because we have a lot of things to cover before we get to those. But just to let you know that they are coming up, let's just make a quick a couple of announcements for those of you who are listening. Be sure to stay tuned. Again, our second half of the show, and that's where we're going to actually take the free on-air readings. And that's going to be with myself, Steve, Brenda, and Maureen. And we will announce the call-in number later in the show. So make sure you have something to write it down with. Maureen is always great right on top of it, and make sure that she puts it into the chat room as well. So you'll be all set for that. And I recommend calling in. We don't often get to take questions from the chat room, so a phone call is best. Sometimes I think you get more information when you call in because there's a direct interaction there. And we allow a few minutes for you to ask your questions. So also want to let you know, last week's show, our out-of-body experiences, you're going to find that recorded on our archive links. There's archives of all of our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. That's all one word, PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. It'll be under the Archives tab. And then, of course, you know, if you love all of that, circulate it to your friends, those links, send them to the show. If you don't like our show, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Just kidding. Well, you know.
Laugh.
And laugh, right. So anyway, give all the details, the archive links, future show details, things like that to your friends and family. You know, we want to connect with as many people as possible, and we want to keep bringing you the guests that we do on the show so that we can let you know all the different modalities of what it is that we do. So please share the link with others. And then visit, also, the information. You know, a lot of us are in self-discovery and learning how to do all of this for ourselves. You can find on our psychicbloggers.com. site. You can learn about everything from paranormal, reincarnation, the how-tos of your own psychic development. And again, these are written by all of our wonderful psychics that are at psychicaccess.com, all the professional psychics. You'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every one of us has our own detailed profile that you can go and find out more about us. There's chat rooms that you can go in and know more about your psychic before you actually get a reading with them. So there's a list there, again, psychicaccess.com, and there's just so many of us, again, not to mention just our co-hosts, but the authentically gifted psychics around. And it's Doug who operates and runs Psychic Access because of the high expectation that he requires of all of us. Again, you're really going to find some amazing people that work with all of us. And again, as I mentioned, the co-hosts here work at Psychic Access as well. And if you want a personal reading from any one of us, just be sure to visit psychicaccess.com. Many of us are on after the show as well, and it's really easy to see who of us is and is not and such. So be sure, again, to join us on psychicaccess.com after the show. Also, site owners and webmasters, would you like to make some money? 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. If you want more details, just go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, again, invite your friends to join us in the chat room. I love watching our chat room because there's so many great conversations, so many great people here week after week. Julie, Sweet Pea hasn't been in a while. I'm watching you, but you're here again. And Becca, and then, of course, Tommy always stops in. Amanda Marie, just a lot of people that we love that stop in and again, create some wonderful, good conversation for us all. So remember, just have everybody join us in. Now, I'm going to give you the number again. Maureen's already put it into our chat room, but let me give you the number just in case you're listening. 724-444-4851. Now, again, don't call just yet. We will be taking those phone calls in a little bit, all right? And then we'll get to the on-air readings. Absolutely free. And again, you'll be able to talk with myself, Steve, Maureen, or Lady Brenda. And we'll let you know exactly when that is. So, Maureen, only because I know you're just like right there. What? So, quantum angel healing. What do you think? Do you agree with a lot of what she had talked about?
This is the thing. I'm kind of going to separate this from how... I don't even know. Short-term memory loss. I think I was talking to someone else. It wasn't you guys, but I don't talk about angels or guides. Well, I think I might have said it earlier, guides. And I'm not saying I don't believe in it. I'm just saying right. It doesn't go on with me. But what I wanted to focus on what she was talking about. It fascinates me because I read a book many years ago. It's from Deepak Chopra.
Chopra.
I bought it when I was diagnosed in 94 with melanoma. It was stage 3 cancer. And Quantum Healing. It's called Exploring the Frontiers of Mind, Body. And it's a very old, it's an old book. But I was, during that time, you know, I was a young woman. I had a 3-year-old, blah, 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 whatever. The bottom line is when she was talking about certain things, I'm a walking example. So I'm not going on the angel part, but I do feel very strongly about our mind and body being so connected. Now, like I said, I don't mean to be separating the angel part of it, but really when it comes down to this, it's almost like our brain – I'm not going off the subject matter either. I don't feel. I just.
I'd pull you back if you were.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Okay, anyway, now we're getting off, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, essentially, there are five senses and that are just they're just tools, really. So it's almost like, in a way, for me, I'll give my personal. This. I was diagnosed when I was 20 with a heart. Well, I was having a major heart. It was going up like to 200. They monitored me. I found out I'm very sensitive. A lot of sensitive people will have major illnesses or PK that does PK drains you. They'll have heart problems, they'll have this or that, and then they'll just go away or whatever. But I feel strongly because I've experienced this with, well, for instance, my melanoma. Now, I knew that I couldn't leave my daughter away, and I, in spite of my issues with my health, I know that I was a lot of it has to do with me keeping things. I can just feel it. I just know it. I'm not saying it's real or to believe it. I just know it. And then my friend died. He got it 6 months later. He died. It went right to his brain. It's very dangerous. Melanoma in 1994. People don't know as much about anything. We didn't, but I lived. Okay. And there was a very good chance. And then I've been treated for an ulcer and poof, it's gone. I was treated when I was 13. I have a heart thing. Poof, it's gone. This is when I was younger, but now things are going to get different. But it's definitely something I feel, the quantum body and it's a body has a mind of its own, and the quantum mechanic human body and birth of a disease is all about that. And so you see is what you will become. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say they're going to be dead. You know, I oncologist told me you can't do anything about what you have. And I said, oh, really? Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah. See, that just makes me fight more. You know what I mean?
But it makes me go, no, I believe more. Exactly. But some people just go down and just say, you know, call it a day and they're gone. You know, it's time to go. Well, no, because our mind is so, it's just so unbelievable, our senses and stuff. So there you have it. That's my say.
Very good. Thank you so much.
No,
okay.
Thank you.
So, Brenda, how about the angel archetypes? What do they represent to you?
Well, you know, I believe, you know, what she was saying really resonated with me as far as the interconnection between ourselves and the universe and everybody around us, the quantum, the superconsciousness. You know, what she perceives as angels could be what other people perceive as, you know, spirit guides or beings of light. And then she had mentioned an angel's name, Archangel Raphael. I know there's the different angels have their different, I wouldn't say duties, but things that they specialize in. And those, to me, are archetypes. Like, perhaps they're for love, and one's for healing, and one's for prosperity and success. Right. Those would be a different type of archetypes. And, you know, it was an interesting angle through the angels because, you know, to me that's a little bit new to me, although I've been in this work for, you know, I don't want to say how many years because you'd be shocked.
Five years.
Well, people who talk about the whole, you know, angel stuff, that's relatively what I would consider a new age concept, although it really isn't. If you go back into history, I mean, people have been identifying with angels and the different archetypes of the angels and asking them to be intermediaries for, you know, between them and the creator or God energy. That's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, like you said, it's just different aspects, isn't it? It's just different points of view. And mm-hmm. there was a lot that, you know, she talks about. It's just her deal, isn't it? I mean, that's what she does. And the important part of it is all that the healing and how she – I mean, it's all talking about what we should be focusing on anyway, the kids and, you know, the love healing and changing our patterns and our scripts and the behavior and things, why we continue to attract the things it is that we do in our lives and, you know, all of that. Absolutely.
Exactly. And one of the things that I took from it that I think that our audience would really greatly, you know, just really needs to know that it's available to all of us on Earth. You know, she has taken it upon herself to be able to channel that And, you know, when we are in a clear state, and if we choose to, we can all channel that energy.
Yeah, that's what you said, an important thing there, right there, though, is that we have to choose to, if we choose to. And yes. And some people just won't. I mean, that's just kind of a fact of life. Some people just won't choose, you know, until sometimes it comes right down to it, or they just, nothing happens, you know.
Well, they hang on to things that they feel are in their comfort zone out of fear.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of security in suffering.
Well, hey.
It's, I mean, it's true.
It's true sometimes, really. Sad, but true.
Absolutely. Mr. Steve, the whole quantum, what's your take on all of that, about what she had said about the quantum field? And I know that you agree with that to a huge extent, that there is that field, but it almost sounded to me as well that she was just talking source energy and such.
Well, I really like the word quantum. I've always really liked the feel of the word. It feels magical. And when I first read about quantum mechanics, my impression was that it really substantiated some of my beliefs based on the experiences I've had working with spirit and working psychically. So I think it's extremely exciting that quantum mechanics does support theoretically what we know to be true about psychic ability and potentially mediumship. So yeah. I'm really excited about, for example, Dean Radin has done incredible research on skin conductance, and he basically did some experiments or some testing with people who were shown different images on computer screens, and some of the images were shocking and some of the images were uplifting. And he proved in this test, or in this research, that people react physiologically to the image they're about to be shown. So they react physiologically in advance of seeing the image. They detect what's coming. Particularly when there's emotion involved, they react more strongly. And again, that's quantum mechanics. It's the field and the fact that we are interconnected.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited, because I feel in our lifetime, we'll see incredible scientific evidence that backs up what we experience, what we know to be true.
Mr. Moto, didn't he do the with the water, right? Pasting words outside of glasses of water. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, right. And it changes, right? He puts love on one and hate on another one, and
beautiful.
War on another one. It breaks up all the molecules. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's with intent. That one you're talking about is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some of it, and the one with hate. I saw that too. Sorry, Steve. I didn't mean to interrupt. But yeah, it was fascinating. Absolutely beautiful, Jason.
But it is, particularly when, you know, you guys were talking about illnesses and sickness. And Masaru Emoto demonstrated that water crystals change their formation based upon intentions. Yet we're made of a huge amount of water.
Right.
And therefore,
that's what we're mostly made up of, right? I mean, that's us.
And so therefore, our intentions, the energy that we project at ourselves and at each other, has a very real physical impact.
I think even what we think, because I think puts the energy out there. You can feel somebody in the room, on a very minute level, when somebody's angry with you, or somebody's embarrassed, or somebody's closed off, or they're defensive, you feel that, and that's because of all the things that they're thinking and things that are going through their head. So that energy immediately comes out and affects us, which is, I mean, it's very obvious, isn't it, at times?
Absolutely.
Maureen, what
What do I have to say about it all?
My God, you're psychic. That's amazing.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
Just getting ready to say,
I'm
Marie,
not feeling very
what
good,
do you
though?
Have to say about it all? I was
I'm
just
picking up on
say.
Your energy. I'm just not, I got to listen. No, you know what? It's interesting. Maharishi, I was a TMer in the 70s. So that doesn't date me anybody because I was very young, wise. So anyway, he talked about the boundaries of the individual life that are not restricted to the boundaries of the body. And so that kind of implies like that, nor even to those of one's family or one's home. I know about my family. So they extend far beyond those spheres to the limited horizons of unbounded cosmic life. That goes right back in the quantum of the body. You know, and Steve, I do like that word too. Kind of roll. Well, you say it better with it, but quantum healing. I like the word quantum healing a lot because of my personal things with my health, and I do know absolutely for a fact that it's so powerful, and also words are so powerful that we can make ourselves. I mean, I have some major illness, and I have had overcome it. It's poof, it's gone. So I do feel our environment does play a part into that too. So I you know, like I said, I just think that we. I mean, it's almost like. It's like if we're all, if like I said, I'm everything, it also implies an ability to transcend the normal flow of time and the normal confines of space. So we all have this situation, and it's, well, you know, those extraterrestrials are going to be coming down, teaching us some pretty good stuff. And even though I know the stuff, I really have a hard time when it comes down to my stuff, me, myself, and I. But I actually, in spite of my, I've had some pretty intense things happen throughout the years with some of my health, and I'm really a strong person. You know, I'm so, and where I've said it. So I think the mind and the, I mean, we just haven't recognized it, but we are what we see, what you see, you become. If you define yourself, I have this illness. That's why I have a sense of humor about my stuff, and I was telling you guys what was going on with me. I'm not trying to get pity party here. I'm just like going, oh, here we go again. Some new things kicking me in the butt. Or if I say, listen, I bet that the C word's coming. You know what? When I used to say that, that's when the melanoma came about. I found out. I kept going, one day I know I'll have cancer. And you know, that right there is another thing, our mind. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that that's why. I'm not saying to believe in it. But we say something enough. Yeah, I bet that thing's going to come up, and that's, you know, and it did. I mean,
absolutely.
You know?
And so just like that, Brenda piped in, thoughts and words
are
action. That's
right.
Great.
And I'm an example of the negative part of that. It's like, you know, with the secret, you know, Brenda, yeah, I agree with you all that stuff about, I've been doing this for a long time too, and the new agey wording, but it is about the negativity can come into your body as well.
We've seen that. We've seen it time and time again with
the
many people that we've worked with. You know, it's some people you work with and they're like a sponge and they absorb and they want to learn and they're tired of the suffering and they want to move through it or out of it and ready to go on. And then there's those others that are so surprised and shocked why the things happen to them in their life that it does.
I know.
Like, oh yeah, I went through this, you know, I saw that the other day with a former client of mine, and as they had talked about, you know, in the beginning there were some problems, gave them, you know, whatever that came through at the time about, well, here's what's going on, here's a stop that, here's some tools to deal with everything, and then I didn't hear from them for months and months and months, and finally heard back, and they say, oh yeah, I went through a really rough time, and a shake-up, and a divorce, and a move, and all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, of course
that's
you did. Like, right,
it was... I call it the work. But, you know, sometimes I wish I was in denial about things, but sometimes I'm thinking maybe I get these, I think I need a good kick in the butt. I call it God. I have no problem saying the word God. Everybody, okay, I said it. I used to. But no, I think I need to get real kicked in the butt when I'm not doing what I need to step it up for my own self, be better to myself. So I think, you know, I get it. Well, here's some cancer, Maureen.
I don't need that.
No, honestly, here, do this and wake up. I really, sometimes, well, that's, I'm not saying I believe it. I just, I don't get colds. I'm a healthy person. Flu. Come on. I get this major stuff and it does kick me in motion.
Works. Brenda, do you get, you know, for you, do you ever get kicks in the butt, or have you pretty much learned it by now that you know when you're headed for trouble? You know what I mean? Like, I think, like Maureen said, it's kind of like the same way for me. Once in a while, I'll get absorbed with something else, and I'll get, you know, some kind of a kick or whatever that has to be fairly strong. It's like, oh, goodness, yeah, you tried to tell me that a couple times, didn't you? You know?
Well, you always want to think that you know it's coming, and sometimes you ignore it.
I just don't.
And, you know, I can't say that I'm, you know, impervious to that. There are certain things that I hold on to, and I hold on to them because, you know, I'm stubborn. I feel that you know, if I let go of this, then what? You know, as far as illnesses, you know, I agree with Maureen. Sometimes we're hit with these just to wake us up. Like, you know what? You need a challenge here. And when it comes to the physical part, when it finally gets to our physical, it goes through the mind. I say it germinates and it kind of develops in the emotions. And then by the time it reaches the physical, then it's like the wake-up call. It's like the slap on the face that says, you know what, now we really have to, you know, go back to the source and see what the heck has manifested this. Because there's always something that manifests it.
Yeah.
This doesn't fall out of the sky.
Do you think those sometimes, I mean, I agree with there's certain that obviously we create some of those, but I also think that our bodies are just biological entities and sometimes they catch colds. They just do, you know, sometimes it's no reflection on the state of mind. And then other times.
That's true, but you can throw back a cold or a flu too.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying sometimes we just get what we get, don't we? I mean, some of the most brightened.
Yeah, to slow us down. I mean, you can be going a million miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, it's like the universe says, you know what, you need to take a break here.
Right.
And they give it to you. So it could be positive, not negative, a cleansing.
I think, sometimes it's not it doesn't really matter with the state of mind. It has no reflection on the mind processors. I mean, some of the most enlightened minds, Maharishi, died of cancer, you know.
Exactly.
And sometimes that just happens.
It's a thing of fate, you know, and there are certain karmic things to go along with that as well, but,
right.
You know, the dis-ease, I believe that dis-ease, whatever
dis-ease.
It is,
I like that.
Dis-ease is because there is a cure for every dis-ease, and some of it can be directly from our minds, but you've got to be very clear to be able to do something like that, and we're stumbling through that here on Earth. We are.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, you believe that as well. Apparently Steve thought he was just bowling over with smarts, and so he had one of his wisdom teeth removed. I mean, is same thing, do you think, Steve? Is that connected?
Well, I had my wisdom teeth removed because it was hurting.
Oh, right. See, that's what I mean. Sometimes it just hurts and we need to
remove.
We
had to dumb him down a little.
He was too intelligent, or sounded too intelligent.
I have heard from a number of doctors and scientists that mediums have to really monitor their health, because the energy involved in mediumship does have a physical impact.
Yeah,
just like PK, there's been scientific proof. It drains on the heart. Also, it absolutely, Nina, you know, it's absolutely true. I feel very much so it's true, Steve. I mean, haven't you felt?
Well,
I
can feel after a day of readings or after a long day, particularly if it's mediumship, I feel physically drained after mediumship. I saw 7 mothers yesterday evening that had lost children.
Oh, that's hard.
One after the other, and that you know, you raise your energy in effect. So when we're working psychically and when we're working mediumistically, we're raising our energy, we're raising our vibration. So we're lifting up to a higher frequency in order to connect with the field or with spirit, and it consumes a huge amount of energy, and that's particularly why it's important that people doing spiritual work, whether it's healing or psychic work, mediumship, they really have to take care of their health and nurture themselves and make sure that they replenish the energy that they consume. And I'm not particularly good at doing it, but I'm learning that I've got to be better.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Hey, I want to continue with that thought for just a moment. Hey, everyone, listen, we're going to be taking phone calls here in just a couple of minutes after we wrap up some of our thoughts. If you want to call in right now, go ahead. The telephone number to call in is 724 444 1-800-848-4851. The lines are all open right now. Again, we'll be taking phone calls here in just a couple of moments, so hang on with that. Some of the sicknesses, going back to that I've noticed some people endure, or after we've worked with them, especially after a Reiki session or after healing or letting go session, they'll notice over the next couple of days that they feel very uncomfortable or nauseous and such. And I think that that's just the energy sometimes, right? Your body's changing. Somebody, I think Sweepy in the chat room earlier had said, because your body's going through a change or will go through a change, I think our bodies have to catch up to a newer vibration sometimes. Like if it happens really fast, I think we can kind of go through a bit of a rough time. I know for me, when my vibration changes, if my body's not keeping up with that, then yeah, I'll go through an irritation period maybe of a couple of days or something. Have you guys experienced that?
Well, yeah, with Rolfing, it brings up a lot of emotional stuff that you've suppressed too. Rolfing's that really deep pounding into the tissue, and you cry, and you're crying. I mean, actually, you're depressed and crying because there's a lot of stuff that may come up, like from the past. Real intense.
You have to it cleanses you. When it cleanses you, then...
All the toxins, stuff that experiences, yeah, it's really interesting.
The toxins are not only physical, they're emotional.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to push them all out. No. No, it's not fun. I'm not being funny. I'm just kind of... I laugh because I'm sad and cry. Okay.
Sometimes we just don't know, Maureen. Maureen, what do you think? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I know.
Let's start taking some phone calls. Yeah, you are the first one. New York City.
I like New York. New York. Hello,
New
York.
I love New York.
I love it more. Bobby, okay? New York. No, okay. Hi, New York. This is Maureen.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Hello? And who am I speaking to?
This is Kenda, but I'm not from New York. I'm from Montreal.
Well, your phone must say it's from New York, but that's okay. We're saying
same thing, isn't it? No.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'm from Buffalo, New York, and they say Buffalo is actually just Lower Canada. So it's the same thing. Yeah,
Buffalo. So I'm sorry. Was it Kenda? What did you say your name was?
Kenda.
Kenda. As in K?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, Kenda. Yeah. I'm Maureen. I'm ready for you.
Okay, I have a question about a friend of mine. He basically says a lot of things about his life that we're not 100% sure about it. They seem very, like they wouldn't be probable. I was wondering if he's like a...
Right,
really
I got it.
Bad liar or a really good liar, actually. Or
so you don't know if he's, because there's so many people that are so good at, you know. I got it.
Lying and making up stuff. It sounds like he's making up his entire life.
Yes, I got it. And you know, there's some people that are real good at that, and it's like you watch them, and they're living in la la land, and they're really like it's kind of you've witnessed him talking about things to other people as well, like you know, if he's having a conversation, okay, not just with you. Well, you know what? Did you go through something that with the situation? Whereas I don't know if it was exactly the same, but it's like right now, I'm seeing you coming out of a self-imprisonment feeling, like you're freeing up yourself, and you've gone through some pretty intense stuff where you felt your personal power was kind of, or you kind of gave it away. You know, I'm going to be saying this. I'm always one to, you know, I'll rise to the occasion when I've allowed something or tolerated, but whatever's been going on, it's almost like everything, you're free now. You're free. And is this person, okay, I also want to ask you, is this person has dark brown hair? Looks like he's, is it a he? Yes?
Yeah,
he, you
he has,
say.
Yeah,
okay, it looks
hair.
Like a workaholic, but he doesn't, really sometimes, and he doesn't work at all. And he's extremely exhausted. He would, you have no, you know, regardless of what you feel, what my feelings are, I would trust you. I think in the past you did not trust what you were getting. And I think that's where you know how, like, I'm not saying you consciously did this on purpose or whatever. You kind of like, and I see something in the past, you just gave your personal power and forgot that you were in charge of, you're creating everything that you want. it's up to you. But I think that you've kind of, I see you moving forward with this, and this person's around, and it looks like he's, now he will not be working in the next weeks or month ahead, after he's a workaholic, like I said, and then he burns out, or he's been portraying to be a workaholic, but then it's like you have no faith in this person whatsoever. So why I'm asking you this is, first of all, is this somebody that you've opened up to, maybe to be close to, and you're kind of wondering, like, well, you're not trusting it, right? Is that kind of like the...
We're friends, but like I said, he says like a lot of things that seem really far-fetched about his life, and we've never seen it in real life.
Yeah.
So I feel he's one of those serial liars.
No, he's a pathological liar, I understand. I think you already know this. They're called pathological liars. They actually believe their lies sometimes, and I feel that this could be a bit of a problem. But I feel that it's almost like I get that you've already gotten this, and whatever I'm saying to you, I think you already know, and also I don't. I would tell. Excuse me. I'm sorry. He's getting me all choked up. Okay. He's getting me all choked up. I feel that, you know what, I trust in what you're feeling, if somebody else arena, I would say this. Well, I'd give him a chance if I felt that way, objectively. I don't know what his issue is, but I feel that what you're feeling is absolutely correct, because I don't see you as being such a bad kind of gal, and I know that it takes a lot from you to lose faith and seeing that there's something wrong here, because you can be without, you've had so many intense experience in your past with being, and you don't, put it this way, you can be without a man if you need to, and you can be warlike. You don't need anybody's crap. And I feel that you've gained a lot of wit from that, but I think that in the past you've kind of been screwed around with people's tormenting issues, males. But this person will not do this to you. And so my feeling is this. Like I said, you're going to be able to see much clearer in the next week. It's almost like you can see it. It's so much in front of you, and it'll be finished. And I see you being alone and standing your ground, and I see you having much balance. You're psychically picking up on something that I feel, and not through normal sense of communication. It's psychic. You know, something's in the air. You're picking up on it, and you're freeing yourself. And I feel, whether I'm saying I agree with you or not, I do feel that I can see where you're coming from on this. Absolutely. Trust it. You're not gonna, I don't see that you will not be disappointed by trusting your inner feelings about this. Absolutely not. There's something. And I know the type of person you're talking about. It's very disturbing if you get caught up into that. Well, you know. This would be even more.
So he really is a pathological liar.
What I'm saying is that I feel that you have already, I think that you have already been begun, you can already see this going on. You're just quite not extremely there. Yes, I feel that I trust what you're bringing up. There's a reason why you're asking me this, or you wouldn't have asked me. So I'm just saying I can see where you're coming from, and what I feel is, you know what? I feel that he's not healthy for you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Sorry.
Just interrupt me. Why don't you? There you have it. No, I'm not messing with you. I'm messing you, but there you have it.
Hopefully that makes sense, Kendra.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Bye, Bobby.
I'm sure it does.
Okay.
Well, I understood it. I'm just saying, hopefully it makes sense to our guests as well. Yeah?
Yeah, wait, go on.
Okay. Steve, next from North Carolina.
Who's calling from North Carolina?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
It's Annie.
Hello, Annie, how are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Good. What's your question, Annie?
Well, I'm so glad I got you, because back in November, I had called in for something about a relationship that was ending, and you gave me some really good advice, and so it's been several months, and that relationship is over, and I got a huge gift from him, and so right now, I'm trying to manifest the relationship, and I'm observing myself as I'm meeting different people and dating, and I'm seeing that I'm kind of like a little too needy, and I've never been this way before, and I'm wondering like what that is. There's like this pull, or there's insecurity in me, and I'm wondering how I can work through this.
Well, the first thing I would say to you is, after leaving a relationship and moving forward onto your path, it's normal to feel a bit shaky at times. It's normal to feel anxious as you step forward in your own direction. So I don't feel that you have a problem as such. It's quite a normal feeling. What comes to mind really with you is that you are immediately looking to find another relationship. In other words, you found that your relationship wasn't working and you've moved forward. You've made the right decision to go your own way. And your immediate reaction is, okay, how do I find the right partner? And my guides are saying you need more time to yourself, particularly to really just enjoy who you are and really tune in even more with yourself. And I know it sounds like a cliche, doesn't it, to say, oh, you know, you don't go straight from one relationship into another, but it's very good advice. I left a relationship last April and it was tough. The remainder of the year was tough. Really working through the emotions of it and the anger, frustration, etc. But you do get to a stage as you work on yourself that you realize that partly we're manifesting an opportunity to get to know ourselves, to really tune into who we are, what our talents are, what we want in the world, the role we want to play in the world, and the kind of relationship we would like to create. And you see, my feeling with you is that you need to spend time with yourself and you need to get to know yourself more and really reflect upon that previous relationship. What didn't work for you? So what was your partner doing and not doing for you? What were some of the characteristics you liked and didn't like? And what different choices would you make in choosing a partner in future? And also, what were your mistakes? What did you get wrong? How can you become a better person? So it feels really important that you do that, because unfortunately, if you don't do that, you manifest another relationship with issues. So really, you have to take ownership for becoming whole and really getting to the stage where you can honestly say, I love myself. I love myself so much that actually I'm enjoying my life to the point that if I walk this path alone or single, that's just fine because it's wonderful and I love myself. And I can look myself in the mirror and say that. And when you can say that, when you really feel that, and when you've looked at yourself so much that you've moved forward in terms of your self-understanding and your empowerment, that's when your self-esteem rockets. And that's when you're no longer attached to the outcome of having to have a partner because there's something missing in you. And when you detach that way, then you can have the wonderful relationship.
Okay. So, yeah. That's hard to do. I don't know. I guess, you know, I wonder if it's a false belief system of just us always trying to always mate up, you know?
Well, it's partly because we come into life and we hit duality and we create, we almost, as we hit duality, we experience or create these bipolar tendencies, these feelings of extremes, and we all have them. And I'm running out of time, but so I'll be very quick. But we also, in this dualistic environment, we often feel alone. And when we feel alone, unconsciously or subconsciously, we're living in a fear that we're not part of something more meaningful, or that there isn't a God, there isn't a spirit world, etc., and that it's meaningless. And then we meet somebody that we love, and we feel love, and we feel loved, and it's really uplifting because all of a sudden we're we see that we're not alone, and we connect so closely with another person, another spirit, that we feel closer to God, we feel closer to the truth that we're all one thing. And then when it falls apart, it's a real catastrophe, because we feel a huge fear again. But the truth is, you're complete, and we're all interconnected. And when you love yourself enough, you'll realize that on a deeper level, and then you can manifest whatever you want as quickly as you want. But you have to get to that stage, and it doesn't take long. It'll take you 3 months if you do the work. But I wish you all the best, and I'd feel comfortable. You'll meet someone in 3 months, as long as you really engage in doing this work and you listen to what's just come up. I wish you all the best, and well done for having the courage to take control of your life. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay. All right, bye.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Steve. Brenda, I think you're up next with a phone call from New York this time. Is it New York or just Lower Canada again?
It's New York.
It is New York. Brenda.
Hi, New York. How can I help you this evening?
Hi. Well, I'm in an education program. I'm programmed to be an ESL teacher. And I know that there's a lot of creativity required for it, and I feel like I don't have creativity. And I'm just wondering if I'm on a career path I can handle.
Okay, let's take a peek here. You know, first of all, I feel you're really stuck on this creativity thing. I don't believe creativity doesn't necessarily mean artistic. Creativity can take all different types of forms. And so you can't let that hold you back. I mean, it feels like you're putting that up as a block. When I look into this, I feel that there's so many wonderful possibilities with this career for you. And what originally drew you to it still exists. So you have to just know that, you know, creativity doesn't mean, oh, I'm a painter or I'm a musician. It means that you can put thoughts together creatively. You can, you know, there's all different forms of it. You can, you know, create things, healing and all different things like that. And I'm also seeing that you have a great talent for this. And so you have to move towards it. It's almost like a fate. That's what I see. It's almost fated.
It's kind of funny, because I feel like all these teachers coming up with like ideas, and when I have to create lesson plans for school, I'm told to come up with ideas, and when that happens, my mind just gets stuck. It just doesn't move anywhere.
For example, what kind of example is that? Can you give me an example?
That's kind of hard.
That's okay. You don't have to. You've got to move towards it. It's like having writer's block. Step away from it and think it over. Sometimes when you try to meditate on it and you think it over, you're going to find a wonderful idea. You're getting too stuck on this has to be such a fabulous creative thing, when it could be something very simple, actually. That's what I see.
Okay, so do you see me being a teacher?
I do. I feel that this is your talent and your path, and you have a gift here. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you then.
You know what? Teachers come in all different forms, and they're not all real creative and stuff, but the talent that I see for you is you're nurturing, and that you want to help people, and you want to work with people, and this is a gift. Feels like you're going to get in the swing of things, honey.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
All right. There you go. And they're gone. Okay. Coming up next, California. Are you on the line? Hello, California?
Yep. Hi.
Talk to me. How are you? Who's this?
This is Reggie.
Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good, buddy. What can I do for you?
I'm dealing with harassing neighbors.
Say it again. You're kind of muffled on me just a little bit there. Say it again for me.
Dealing with harassing neighbors.
A harassing neighbor?
Yeah, making a lot of noise because they think I told on them and stuff and just acting crazy.
Okay. And so what do you want to know about that?
When are they
you want me to, you want me to stop by, Reggie? You want me to come over?
Yeah,
there?
I could use
okay.
Yeah.
I could probably do that, I guess. What question do you have about it?
Is this guy going to stop harassing me with noises and stuff, and guy's friends next door participating in it?
That's okay. I have never been asked this type of question before in my life.
Well, I'm glad I'm the first.
leave it to you, Reggie. You know, I don't see it ending. I mean, this is it's I don't want to say it's like war, but in other words, I just see him escalating and doing what he's doing, and he's not going to stop because he's at his home. You know what I mean? And he feels, from the way that I see it, like he has every right to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And then you will probably just continue to do what you do, calling the cops or making, I mean, have you filed reports and done things officially like that?
No, I'm you know, really kind of concerned about retaliation. This is a bad area I'm living in.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a valid concern, but unless some of those don't get, you know, if you don't go in that particular direction, I don't necessarily see this ending. I mean, it feels like the neighbor, as I'm kind of tuning into it, it kind of feels like he's a, I don't know, kind of a strong sort, you know, very strong-headed, and I don't think that anything's necessarily going to change his mind unless it does come down from the police, but then, like you said, you
so
know,
you,
you're going to have to, you would have to deal with that, you know. That's a scary thing, isn't it?
You think if I call the police, it would do some good?
Well, I think it would, but again, then I have that fear, you know, like you said, I would be afraid myself, I guess, if I were living there. Calling the police is the only thing that would take care of it, but then I would be afraid afterwards of any repercussions that, you know, that would happen. You know what I mean? So you're in a really tight spot. I mean, the whole area, it's different. It's almost like you don't even belong in that neighborhood.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I see you standing out, and it's like you don't belong there. Does that make sense?
That's true. Definitely true.
Yeah. So you are definitely a different sort. Here's what I'm being told, and this is what they, meaning angels, guides, you know, your belief system, here's what they're kind of recommending for you. So you could call the police, take care of it through legal means. And then I would do some work inside of you as far as asking for, again, if angels are what it is that you believe in or whatever God, ask for that white light protection. Because, again, as I'm kind of seeing you in this neighborhood, you just stand out. And it does seem to be a cleaner, brighter type of light that you carry in this neighborhood. So if I'm looking down on the neighborhood from a helicopter and the helicopter's got one of those spotlights, like your house is lit up. And so consider that. What I would recommend is like, if you can picture what it is that I'm saying, consider that to be your protection zone, okay? So that whole area around you, which covers the house in back of you, the house in the other side of you, you know what I'm saying? And the whole that street area, that everything is protected inside of that area. And then do what it is that you need to do to get this to stop. And if it still continues on, then you might have to start intending in a different direction. In other words, moving out of that neighborhood. I know that you came there just because it's either like you just fell into it or you didn't have a choice or you just kind of came about living there. But I certainly don't see you staying in that neighborhood forever. But in the meantime, this may be one of those steps closer to being where it is that you actually want to live. Do you see what I mean? Am I making sense to you?
Kind of stuck in the leaf.
Right.
So, and I really can't break it. It wouldn't be good for me if I broke it.
No, and I wouldn't want you to anyway. It's not, the timing isn't right just now. I'm just saying that you know, I don't see you staying where it is that you're at forever. And there will be a time when you're going to be able to move out of there. But in the meantime, again, you can put this protective area around you and really believe in that. And then I don't think that you'll have anything to necessarily fear of. But I'm only cautious in telling you that because I think you have to be not experienced, but you just really have to be on the same vibration with asking angels for help, if that's who you're going to count on. Asking the angels for help, having them protect you, and believing and living on that vibration that they will help you, that you will be okay. If you doubt it or fear it or are just hoping that it's going to be okay, that's not good enough. Do you see what I'm saying? So you really have to be in good vibration of asking for that help and being online with being protected. Do you see what I mean? So I know it doesn't necessarily help out your situation, but I'm giving you tools, or at least that's what they're telling me to let you know of. And I don't really see it, like I say, just to recap real quick so we can move on, that I don't necessarily see it changing unless you kind of go through more legal means like that.
So the police could help?
Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah, if they're getting noise complaints and things like that, obviously, yeah. I mean, the legal means, they would take care of it in the way that they know how to, of course.
No, they're not going to complain. He's surrounded by his friends, so people hear him, but they're not going to tell on him.
Right.
Like that. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Reggie. Thanks for calling in, bud.
Okay. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Maureen from North Carolina, you have a phone call.
Thank you so very much. Hello, North Carolina. This is Maureen. Maureen. And hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Sandy.
Sandy. Hi, Sandy. And what can I help you with?
I have sort of a, I guess you could consider a personal situation, personal question. About a week and a half ago, I was let go at my job. And yesterday, I had a fine needle ultrasound-guided biopsy of my thyroid.
Okay.
I only have medical insurance good through the end of this month. I do not have another job. What feeling, what intuition, what guidance are you feeling?
Okay. So what I hear you saying is, because insurance can run out, you had a needle, ultrasound needle, I understand what that is, and you're concerned about if you can get this stuff done or if everything will work out because, okay, so you're not going to have insurance anymore because you're leaving the place of...
I've already was terminated in my job.
I got it. Okay, so you don't know if... I see. Okay.
Were actually good enough to move this up. It was scheduled for the 27th, and they moved it up to yesterday because now I've still got to find out if the nodule in my thyroid is cancer or not.
Right. And, no, you know what? I absolutely see it's going to be a just fairness is what I guess I'm trying to say. It looks like you put a lot of energy into all the work that you have been very devoted. And I do get a feeling that, you know, it's going to be extended. I don't feel you have anything to worry about, but it breaks my heart what I'm looking at here. And it looks like you're going to be really – I see you healthy. I do see you healthy as well. I really do. And I see you coming back into a place where you remember a very positive past, like childhood memories. It's not like living in the past. It's like – feeling like, you know, that cinnamon toast, you know, that's comforting food. And I see you very healthy, but
2 years is very stressful.
I know it is. And I'm really sorry you're going through this. And also with the insurance, I feel that the company or whatever you worked with, they really can allow anything. The doctors, I'm really happy to hear, are doing this for you. But you look like you put so much energy into what you were doing in that place. And I think that they're kind of being buttheads about insurance. I think they could, if they wanted to extend it even more so, they could. I feel that they're not going to have the victory of having – I feel you're going to be fine. I see that you actually are going to be handling this where you feel that you have control. So what I guess I'm getting at is I feel that your insurance will still be – it'll be okay. It'll all work out. I don't see you being without. I don't see any more stress added to you than what you have already.
Oh,
I mean, my gosh. You know,
yes,
and
thank you so much.
Well, you deserve this, and it's deserving, and it's right, and it is what it is. But I do see you're going to be I see you looking really fine too, and enthusiastic in the next, you know, throughout the summer. You're going to be doing fine. Hey, you know what? Be kind and gentle to yourself right now, okay?
Thank you, because I'm not always.
I know you, and you must be.
I know it's important.
You're really you're very kind. You're a very loving person and kind heart. And yes, just do that. And I do feel that you're going to be nurtured. You're going to feel a lot of love from. Oh. Yeah, you'll be fine. And bless your heart. I wish you well, but I know you'll be well.
Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Take care.
So much.
Okay,
have
bye-bye.
A blessed day. Thank
you. Can we bless her heart too? Or is that just for you, Marie?
No, that's my thing. You take it from me, but I say it.
You said it first. We'll give credit.
I was born first.
We don't want to go there. Don't take it there. All right, let's go on to next. Now, this is uncanny. Steve, I don't know what you've been doing, but it's like the primaries. You have won the North Carolina state because this is your third phone call from North Carolina.
Do I have to be a politician in North Carolina now?
That's right.
I think I'm too liberal for North Carolina. Who's calling from North Carolina?
This is Sherry from North Carolina.
Hello, Sherry. Are you the governor?
No, I'm not.
How can we help, Sherry?
I'm not cut out for politics.
How can we help you?
I'm calling because in 2011, I did a lot of deep personal work on myself and made a lot of tough decisions that are turning out to be the right decisions. And I just was wondering I just wanted to get to a position where I could attract my perfect life mate. And I was just wondering if you see that coming for me.
Let me see. I feel that you've got more work to do. It's interesting, actually, that Bobby was saying we've had three calls from North Carolina, but that often there's a theme, and I feel that you've still got releasing to do. I feel that you still feel hurt, and I feel that you need to nurture yourself more. I feel that if you do that, then you would meet somebody later in the year. It feels intuitively like September. But I feel as though you really need to celebrate yourself. You really need to enjoy the spring and the summer. And then
I
do see a relationship.
I haven't been having a lot of fun lately.
But you've still got to let go of the past and be very clear what you learned in the last relationship so that you don't need to experience those lessons again.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because it's the same as it's the same thing that we were discussing before. Unless we get really conscious of what we magnetized previously and why we needed to magnetize that experience, and therefore how we need to change within ourselves, whether it's self-confidence or whatever it is, what do we need to work on within ourselves to become more whole so that we don't need to magnetize another adverse learning experience? And you had a tough relationship. Really tough.
Yeah, I had it. The last one was pretty rough.
Yeah. And was it 3 years long? I'm drawn to number three.
Yeah, actually, we broke up at the end of 2010.
Okay. Well, you don't want to have another experience like that. So you've got to be really clear, what was it within you that caused you to magnetize whatever the lesson was? And you need to live very consciously aware of that lesson so that it doesn't need to repeat. And with you, it is partly self-esteem.
Okay.
You're very creative as well, I want to say to you. You've got an excellent intellect and writing ability, and you're very well read and researched. You've got a really sharp mind. But
yeah, I'm actually going to school at night to get my master's, and my ultimate goal is to write a book. So you're right on.
you're right. Yeah, you've tuned really clearly into that path. And you see, I don't feel as though your previous partner was supportive. That I don't feel that your previous partner encouraged you or was displayed passion for your great talent, for the gifts that you brought into this world. And the bottom line is, if you can't celebrate me and who I am, then you can't support me on my path.
You're
and so
exactly
you made the right.
right
decision. But I'm very drawn to September, and I feel you'll have a wonderful summer.
Good, excellent. Okay. I'm ready for some fun.
Good luck with the bus. With the book. The book, not the bus, the book.
Oh, thank you.
The boss
thank
of the
you,
book.
Steve.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, this is our last phone call for the evening, and it goes to Brenda, and from my my old state, South Dakota.
Hi, South Dakota.
Hello.
What can I do for you tonight?
I was very encouraged by the discussion today, tonight, and so I decided to call. I've been trying to learn how to put things out there and how to change things, but I really have a really bad situation. I'm trying to really make a difference with the youth here, and I'm on the board of directors, and I have this individual who used to be my best friend, and she is just very a miserable individual, always so negative, always, you know, stopping stuff, and just really just picks on me, picks on other people. Just really miserable, and it gets so bad. Like the day after the last meeting, I could barely get out of bed. I mean, it just really, really brought me down. And so I'm wondering how you could tell me how to, you know, like the conversation, you know, that was went on earlier. How do you put things out there? How do you ask for that change? How do you see me making that change to where it's either more positive or I just give up and let things go?
I would not give up. I would not give up because she's coming from an extreme place of fear. She's fearing loss of control. She's fearing loss of control of her position, her opinions, and so everybody around her is getting pounded with this. You know, I believe that if there's a negative, there has to be a positive to balance this. And what came up in your reading is the Sun card. And you know, the Sun card overpowers everything, which with positive energy. For you, I know it battered you so much you could almost didn't want to get out of bed. I'm seeing that this could turn around for you, and she's not going to affect you. If you start doing some positive affirmations, you know, I don't want to say, you know, you could send her some things like positive energy, perhaps even love energy, universal love energy. Okay. But I really feel that if you start working on yourself, that's a reflection that's going to affect the whole group. And
okay.
I see you triumphing over this. Do you meditate?
I really don't. I don't have time to. But I did send some. I was just miserable, and I was sitting at the table, and I was just thinking about it. And I prayed for her, and then after a while, it just this calm just came. It just like they were talking about earlier, like an angel just came and just, you know, affected me, and it was just positive, and the meeting was better. The next meeting was better, but
you answered your own question, honey, and that's what I see. You have found a key. You've got to counter it with a positive energy, and you know, this is going to change the whole dynamics of this group because they're going to come in, and you're giving off all this positive energy. She will become ineffective.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It helps. Okay. What about crystals? Would crystals, I don't know how to use them or anything, but somebody said crystals.
Well, you know, the matter.
Well, no. Crystals could help because, you know, if you carry a crystal, you can empower it with this. You know, when you're doing your prayers and you're asking for the help, you can hold it in your hand and you can empower it. You can bring it with you like a little beacon.
Mm-hmm.
People use that type of stuff. Yes, that crystals are used that way. Clear crystals are transmitters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all very positive. You know what to do. You just can't let it get to you because her fear is affecting some fears of yours, and it all becomes a vicious cycle. But you've inadvertently, you know, found a key here with your connection to the creator energy, the God energy, the angel energy, and it's making things better, so you need to just keep it up, honey.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very nice. All right. And that is just about going to wrap everything up for tonight. I want to thank all of my co-hosts, Steve and Maureen and Brenda. And in fact, Maureen, your show is coming. Your show is coming up next week, and I've never heard this term before. It's called energy portraits. Is that like somebody draws out your energy?
Yeah, like the aura, you know, but she goes into a little step further. It's going to be a fascinating show because I had not heard that before, but I guess I have researched. There are other people that could do this. But she does energy portraits. It's like the aura, and she draws. But also, there for many people, an act of reflection that they have been waiting for all their lives. So it's the colors, and they're beautiful. And so she's going to be talking about that. She can do it long distance, and she's doing this for quite a while. So it'll be a fascinating show because it's very new to me, too.
I worked with a psychic, her name is Rita, and she has a book, you know, The Psychics for Dummies, that type of thing. She's featured in that, and I had a chance to work with her on the television show, and she draws portraits of your loved one. So she does the medium abilities, but then draws the portrait of your loved one and such, and she can do that over the phone, and I just think that's an amazing talent to be able to draw.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, she does that work. She also does it for pets too. The pets are people that have. Yeah, but so, and I saw some of her work on the YouTube. Check out the YouTube channels on the index page, you guys, if you want to hear it. See what she does too. But so yeah, she'll be here next week.
Brilliant. Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you. Good show,
again.
Bobby.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, you guys, for everybody who's stopping in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And again, psychicaccess.com. Most of us will be on so that you can chat with us and have a reading from us. Otherwise, just visit our site anyway for answers from all of our wonderful psychics. And we want to thank Doug, of course, for running behind the scenes, running everything for us. Couldn't do it without him. That's not only the Psychic Access site, but also our talk radio show here. So thanks, everyone, in the chat room, for joining us. Hope you can join us again the same time next week on Psychic Access Talk Radio for more Psychic Viewpoint. On behalf of Steve, Maureen, Brenda, and myself, Bobby, have a great, great week, and we'll see you here next time. Take care.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.